The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. Glad you're here. A couple of things. We need to talk about James Clapper on the State of the Union on CNN this weekend, talking about Donald Trump and what's the update there. Congress is saying if Donald Trump does have tapes, they want those tapes. Why would you, when everyone is saying that you are Richard Nixon, why would you bring up the word tapes? I wouldn't even ask for scotch tape if everyone is calling me Richard Nixon. We'll get into that a little bit. I want to talk about this cyber attack that happened this weekend. We are in a Cold War, except it's not necessarily the Russians that we are standing against. This time, it was some people that didn't like the fact that Steve Bannon was taken out of his position in the national security briefings. And how did this cyber attack stop? Where did it come from? What is it? How can you protect yourself? And how did it stop? All that, that's where we begin right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Former director of the National Intelligence Agency's James Clapper went on to this weekend on State of the Union and said a couple of things. Listen.
Our institutions are under assault, both externally, and that's the big news here is the Russian interference in our election system. And I think, as well, our institutions are under assault internally.
Internally from the president?
Exactly.
Because he's firing the checks and balances.
Well, I think, the founding fathers, in their genius, created a system of three co-equal branches of government.
Okay.
And a built-in system of checks and balances.
Okay, let's all breathe deep here for a second. If you're a conservative, to hear somebody who is in the Obama administration say these things is, you got to breathe deep. Talking about undermining Congress, that's difficult to take. It's also difficult to take something from James Clapper, a guy who says the Muslim Brotherhood is largely secular. The Muslim Brotherhood is largely secular. That's like saying the Catholic Knights of Columbus are largely secular. But let's focus on what he just said. What he said is, to me, the problem with today's media and politics. First, let's tell a little bit of truth. Our institutions are under assault externally. And that's the big news here. Russia's interference in our election system. Yes. There isn't much of a question regarding what the Russians did. We know that they hacked the DNC and John Podesta. We know they used surrogates to leak that information to hurt Hillary Clinton. I have no issue with the statement that he just made there. We know that's true. Now, his second statement. This is what's wrong with 90% of the news lately. He goes from fact to theory, conspiracy theory. He says, not only are we under attack by the Russians, but also internally from the Trump administration itself. Is he pushed for any record or anything on the record? Does he have anything on the record? Does he have any evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia? Did he do something that was unconstitutional or just politically stupid? He didn't do anything political. He didn't do anything unconstitutional. It's his right to fire him. The problem is it was politically stupid. Now, know the difference, Mr. Clapper. And then to say that we're under attack because of the founders and their genius of separation of powers and not to have any kind of collusion between those powers, I have to tell you, we're going to pole vault, we're going to jump the fence, we're going to parachute in if we have to, comes to mind. Now, Clapper used to be the top spy, so he knows exactly how disinformation works. And eventually, people will believe the fabricated theory along with the actual truth if you continue to couple them. The left has been so busy trying to convince the world that Trump has colluded with Russia without having any evidence to support it. They want everything. They want everybody to think that, you know, nothing happened at all, you know, that Russia didn't attack us, despite evidence to the contrary. They did attack us. There's no evidence that Trump had anything to do with that. Now, hiding your head in the sand is equally dangerous, but false accusations may be even more so. Let's be very clear. We've been talking about Putin on this show for years. We have been telling you about the people around Putin for years. We told you they would do these things. This no surprise to anybody in this audience that Putin wanted to A, hurt Hillary Clinton. Two, more importantly, something that we have focused on for years, polarize the American people and cause chaos. Could he have been any more successful? Hillary lost, not because of the Russians, but because she was the worst candidate for president we've seen in 240 years. That's why airing her dirty laundry didn't cause her to win, didn't cause Trump to win. It further split in an already divided nation, which is the thing that just happened in France. Two awful candidates ran for president, one going to an overwhelming win. Russia interferes, not expecting a different outcome. But watch, France will tear itself apart in the next 5 years. Now, why is it that we as people can't focus on what's really going on here? Why can't we see the facts anymore? Because we both feel like we have a gun against our head. The left feels like you felt under Barack Obama. And you feel like you felt under Barack Obama for different reasons. And nobody's listening to each other. If we continue to use threats as political weapons, we are going to tear ourselves apart, and it is going to be much worse. Keith Olbermann now does videos for GQ. Listen to what he just said over the weekend.
I make this plea. We, the citizens of the United States of America, are the victims of a coup. We need your leaks, your information, your intelligence, your recordings, your videos, your conscience. The civilian government and the military of the United States are no longer in the hands of the people, nor in the control of any responsible individuals on whom you can rely.
Okay, so he's talking here directly to all of the intelligence agencies all around the world, including the Russians and the Chinese, saying, leak all of the information. He then goes on and says, because Trump has no rules, we should have no rules either. We'll take the risk of reestablishing the rules later on. What exactly does that mean? Keep in mind, we're only a few months into this presidency. The question is, the same question we asked a year ago, where does it go from here? As I pointed out on the chalkboard when I was at Fox, the radical left, the socialists, the communists, the anarchists, the fascists, the Islamists, the Russians, all want the same thing, to cause chaos and burn the system to the ground. And they're all working in concert to see it happen. They're not coordinating, but that's what's happening. And while we're busy chasing our tails, the bad guys are winning. Yes, we were attacked by Russia during the election. Yes, France was attacked during their election in the exact same way by the same people, Russia. Russia isn't even hiding it anymore. To the contrary, they're expanding. The Cold War, the first Cold War, was a spy war. I will tell you, this next war is going to be a cyber war. And if we continue to allow partisan politics to divide us, we are going to lose this war. I want to tell you the story of what happened this weekend. Because maybe you don't know. Maybe you heard about a cyber attack, but you don't know really what happened. A group of hackers, we think they're just thugs, criminals. We don't think this is behind, any government is behind this. And you'll see how dangerous it is in a minute. A group of hackers effectively hacked the entire planet. A massive cyber attack hit over 200,000 computers in more than 150 different countries. In England, it got so bad it almost shut down the National Health Service. Surgeries were being canceled. Patients were being turned away from the emergency rooms. And here's the scary part. Nobody even targeted the hospitals. That was just kind of an extra bonus for the hackers. It was a blanket attack that hit the computers, all of them at random. Now imagine what would happen if they would have actually tried to target all the hospitals, if they would have tried to target all of the power plants, nuclear power plants, and the power grids around the world. So how did they do this? I'm going to take you back to a story you might remember. The hackers used a cyber weapon that was created by us, the NSA. Do you remember when it was stolen a few months ago by a group called the Shadow Brokers? And they leaked it online. And they said, here's, it's up for sale. Anybody want to buy it? And there was a debate. Well, is this true or not? And I believe James Clapper, who was the head of the intelligence community when this was stolen from us and leaked online, James Clapper would neither confirm nor deny that that was any of our malware. Well, they couldn't sell it, the Shadow Brokers. And so last month, they just dumped it online for free. Why? This goes to the motivation. Why? Well, it was leaked online in response to Trump's decision to bomb Syria and for kicking Steve Bannon out of the National Security Council. Now, why would that happen? Syria, okay, kicking Steve Bannon out. Why would a group of hackers want to burn everything down to the ground? Oh, that's right. Because as we've been warning you, Steve Bannon is not a conservative. He wants to burn the entire thing down to the ground. What Breitbart is doing is colluding with the Russians and people like the Russians, whether they are colluding in direct contact, I highly doubt. But they are on the same path. They have the same patterns, the same desires, the same language. Surprise, surprise, the Shadow Brokers are speculated to be yet another surrogate for Russia. And they're the ones who dumped it online. This may be the beginning of the world's first worldwide cyber war. Putin said this would happen. And he said it would be World War III. It would be fought with digits, not bombs. We're in uncharted territory. We've never experienced anything like this before. And as long as we are concentrating on those things that politically divide us, we're going to lose this war. It is really important that instead of talking about a bogus constitutional crisis, we don't have one. We have a massive political crisis. The president was in his rights. I think it was stupid. I don't agree with it. But he was fully within his right to fire James Comey. The government's job now, the Congress's job, is to oversee, to make sure that there is a full investigation. The majority of people, I think it's only, what, 27 or 37% that don't want a separate investigation, give an independent investigator this job. And let's move on with our lives. There's far too many things that are important, and they all revolve around the idea of principles. While Keith Olbermann may say, you know, we'll rewrite the rules. No, I'd like to stay with the rules that we, well, not that we have, the rules that we have written down 240 years ago that we haven't used for quite some time. I'd like a return to those rules and those principles. And that's only going to happen if we pay attention to the truth and don't become distracted by the things that piss us off.
We are one. The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. Oh, yeah.
So I'm just talking about, I want to get real on how the Russians are screwing us. My daughter takes a class with Russian, you know, some Russian ballet teachers.
So does my granddaughter.
And I can't take it. I can't take it. Yesterday, give gift to mother of your performance. Not much of a gift. My wife yesterday, she got up at 8 o'clock, started running around the house, trying to get everything ready for this performance at 8 o'clock in the morning. She had to be out of the house by 10.
Bearing in mind that the performance is at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah, she had to be out of the house by 10 to drive across town to get to the place. She had to be there for my daughter from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m.
The performance was at 7.
On
Mother's Day.
That's unbelievable.
Okay, so she was just... And they add the gall. These Russians give your gift mother, give your mother gift of your performance.
I'm going to give you the gift of pulling my daughter out of your stupid dance club.
Oh my gosh, yes. I couldn't believe it. Jeez. I couldn't believe it. My wife last night was so so tired, so tired. I went and I saw her. You know, we came and I took care of the kids and took the grandkids and everything to the performance. And so we arrive at 6:45 and I see her and she's just beat into the ground. And I said, hey, happy Mother's Day. And she's like, yeah, da. Thank you very much.
Fortunately, though, you had Saturday.
No, I worked all day Saturday. And she had a birthday party for Cheyenne. It was like not Mother's Day. It was like, you know, it's every day is not Mother's Day. Every day is Kids Day, as my mother used to say. She had 14 girls. She was like, Cheyenne wanted to go to the, you know, that medieval times thing. Oh, I can't take it anymore. So Tanya was like, she wants 14 people to go. It's like, how much is it? No.
It's about
no.
$700 a person.
Yeah, it's like, no, we're not going to medieval times. She's like, I'm just going to get some stuff and I will decorate the house and then you go swim out in the pool. So... she's decorated the whole house. It would have been worth it would have been worth spending $8 zillion. It would have been worth mortgaging the house instead of having 14 girls at the birthday party. My wife had the worst Mother's Day weekend of all time.
And you probably shouldn't have.
And it was the damn Russians.
The good thing though is the Russians had you pay $25 per person to endure that day.
There's more.
That's
there's
great.
More to that.
Yeah.
If you'd like to hear it, there is much more to that story when we come back.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
You know, I'll stay on this Russian conspiracy thing. You know, perhaps Clapper is more right than I thought. And I believe that the Russian influence and destruction of the Western way of life starts with ballet classes for your little girls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, let me just say, I happen to have a special experience and special passion, because as I just said a few minutes ago, my wife was at a ballet recital getting my daughter ready for 12 hours yesterday. And the Russians would have no, you know, Mother's Day. Mother, she'd throw a potato in pot and dance, cook, drink. So they said, you know, oh, it happened to fall on Mother's Day. Sorry for that. Yeah. Uh-huh. Here in America, Ivan, it's a little important. So she was gone all day yesterday. And then we had to watch the teacher in this deal. We all want to go home. It was a 3 hour performance.
It's a dance title for
Gilligan
this.
Gilligan was lost and washed up onto an island and built a hut in 3 hours. We're having to watch, and they had the teacher dance. I don't care to see the teacher. I don't really care. They hired some guy to dress up in tights to do three dances. Why do I need to look at his junk jumping in front of me? I don't care about anybody on the stage except my daughter and her friends and everybody else. I'm tolerating because, you know, it's your daughter and their friends. So I'm like, okay, that's cute because you were cheering for my kid. It's cute. It's great. Stop the madness.
Yeah, there's a misunderstanding of the audience there, right? Like, no one is there because they like ballet.
Right. And we all paid $25 to sit there.
Right. They're there because they want to see their daughter or at least feel the need to show up so their daughter sees them.
Yes.
That's probably more accurate.
We've been doing dance recitals now for, you know, almost 30 years because my eldest daughter is almost 30. So,
dance recitals or ballet?
I've never seen the instructor dance. Never. I've never seen them invite a third party to dance. I've never been charged $25 a person before.
It's outrageous.
I mean, that's
it's outrageous. I'm going to make a stand tonight, and I probably won't because I'm too much of a chicken. But I'm going to make a stand tonight to say this is the first of all.
Find someplace else.
First of all, it's crazy the amounts of time. I was watching this thing last night, and I thought, I don't know anyone growing up. I don't know a single person that would have had the money to rent the stupid costumes, let alone have the recital. The recital would have been them dressed in tights if they even did a ballet class. I don't know anybody that was frou-frou-y enough to have a dance class, but my sisters never took it. They never took, you know, they never took private singing lessons. You know, my folks never went to our games or anything. It didn't happen.
Your folks never went to your games?
I actually played basketball until I was in sixth grade, and then stopped.
I'm sorry,
yes,
what?
Stop. I'm not even going there. No, I will not reveal that part of my life. It was as sad and as tragic as you thought.
Why they didn't go.
They would stand on the court, and they would be like, they would almost look at the other team, and before they'd look at me, and I'd be like, I'm open. And they would stand with the ball and go, oh, crap. And then they'd look at the other team like, I might as well just throw it to you, and just let's just get on with it. And they throw it to me, and then I drop it or something, and then the other team would have it. But that's a different story. Let's not go any deeper. There's a lot of pain there. So we never went, you know, our folks would say, go out and play.
Get out.
They'd go out and play. And you go out and play. We didn't have all of this orchestrated stuff that cost so much money. I can't get past the fact that our kids are better off in some ways. Because they are taking dance and things that we never even thought of, you know, going into robotics over the summers and doing things that, okay, that's good, except it's tearing the family apart. When the family is not together for Mother's Day, it's insane. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, you know, I made a list. I watched her. I posted something on Facebook last night or yesterday morning. I took this picture and I didn't include her face. I just took a picture of her, you know, Cheyenne sitting at her feet and her hands because she had gotten up and it was 10 o'clock in the morning. And she's like, I have got to get into the shower and leave. And I took this picture of her because she was telling me all the things that she had to do. Okay, let me just read this to you because she gave me this list of all the things that she had to do. And I just started listening to her and I thought, I'd kill myself. If I had to be a mother, I'd kill myself. I don't know how women do it. Facebook, this is a shot of the worst Mother's Day, but the most revealing about what a Mother's Day is really like. It's of Tanya in her pajamas this morning. She hasn't had time to take a shower yet, as my daughter's Russian ballet instructor doesn't really care about American holidays. So here she sits on her couch this morning, sewing Cheyenne's point shoes for tonight's recital. She didn't do it yesterday, as evidenced by the little Groot doll on the table. Yesterday, Cheyenne had a birthday party here at the house with 14 girls that Mom had to pull off by herself because Dad was at work. The open laptop is next to Tanya because she had to go over Rafe's homework that needs to be finished with you today, Glenn. It's due tomorrow, and I've been reminding him and trying to get him to do it all weekend long. She has to leave in an hour as she has to be the backstage mom all day for the recital. Her socks are on because she's always cold, yet she keeps the house that way for me because I'm always hot. Have you had breakfast yet? Rafe, your right shirt is hanging on the ironing board. Honey, Cheyenne needs to pack a lunch. Can you turn the iron on for me? Cheyenne, hurry up. I need to do your hair. Rafe, did you brush your teeth and use a washcloth? Did you put deodorant on? No, you didn't. You didn't do any of those. Go back upstairs. Me just trying to help doesn't help really at all. Pack the lunches and snacks. Pull the car up front. Tell the son to empty the garbage long after Mom had asked him twice. And try to pack the sewing kit. How did I forget the scissors and the lighter? Okay, Mom, scissors, they were obvious, but a lighter? What's a lighter for? I didn't ask. I just got one and helped her into the car. But if I were a mom, the lighter would be so I could smoke crack and forget about the endless list that Mom is always writing, checking, and juggling in her head. This is our crappy Mother's Day, our glimpse into what her day is like every day. Perhaps the purpose of this day is to notice how lost we would be without her. I made a list yesterday of the things that she has to do, and it's overwhelming. Just overwhelming.
It's a shame to have to add some stuff to that list.
It really is. It's going to be it's a shame when I have to let her go because, I mean, she's getting high in the miles. Right? You know what I mean?
I'm sure she's going to appreciate that.
Yeah.
Now she's got another thing on the list, which is filing certain papers.
Right. And so I'm sitting... wait, what? So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, and I'm honestly... I mean, I'm thinking about my mom, and I loved my mom. And, you know, I loved her, for flaws and all, when, you know, she'd come in, you know, middle of the night. Why the hell haven't you cleaned up your room? Get out of bed. You're just like your stinking father. Those were great times. Oh, they don't come
times.
Back again.
Good times.
And I love those moments.
Well, they didn't happen. But,
you know, I look at what my life was like, and then I look at what our children's life is like, and I think, what the hell are we doing? Really, honestly, what are we doing to them? We are constantly, the house stops for them. We have put them, in many cases, above the family and above our relationship.
Yeah.
Now, our relationship, sometimes that is the one to be battered, but that you batter that, it's over. It's over. You beat up the relationship between Mom and Dad, the whole family dissolves. But how many times have you been in? Now, this I expect. How many times have you been in a critical conversation and the kids are like, Mom, we've got to go. I've got to go. Okay. Dad, we've got to go. Okay. All right. We'll get to that later. That happened with my parents too. But not to the degree that it's happening now, and not for the stuff that's happening now. Usually, it was the parents who were like, I've got to go. You're either coming with me or you're riding your bike. You're coming now or I'm going. I got to get to work. So ride your bike. You're going to walk. I don't know how many times I heard that. Go. You're walking. I got to go. Not now. God forbid. And if you even thought about doing it, you'd go to jail. It's not that Pat was talking about how, you know, times have changed and how, you know, you don't want your daughter walking outside in even your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I got news for you. I mean,
she likes to walk around the pond, which is about half a block from our house. And
oh, man, and you
I
live
like
in the mean streets.
That alone. That's
you got to be kidding, really?
No, you can't do it. No,
yes,
not
you can.
Alone.
Pat,
one of your brothers going with you? No, you're not going.
Pat,
come wait, on. How old is Pat. She again?
She's 17.
Sharia law.
No kidding.
So. That's
over
there.
Ridiculous, though, right?
No,
that's ridiculous.
Yes, it has by
but,
you.
But
it's
that
ridiculous.
Is that's all coming from you believe it's safer for our kids, I think, than it has ever been in many regards. Where the danger is online. That's where the real danger is.
That's where we stuck them.
True.
And that's where we send them.
That's
where we stick them in the house. Watch this. That's where the real danger is. Don't go outside and play. I can't be there to watch you.
You might get an ant bite.
Yeah, no, it's not. But it's that we think all we think is taken.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my gosh. She's going to go for a walk. She's going to be half a block. Some guy's going to call up, put her into the car. It's safer than it was. But you don't dare let your kids go out and do the things. We were outside for hours and hours,
all day long.
Somebody would say, hey, who do you kids belong to? We wouldn't want to tell them, not because the folks would get into trouble, because we would get into trouble.
Yes.
They would call our folks and say, you know what your kids were doing? I mean, and what are we doing? We're renting ballet. Don't do it, Stu. I can see it in your eyes. You have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You.
This is a frightening conversation because I have a 4-year-old daughter.
Oh, don't.
And she's very cute, and she'll dance to the songs. And my wife was saying recently, you know what we should do?
Yeah.
Is get her into dance. She loves to dance. We should get her into dance.
Tell her she's too old already. She, you know, there's no way.
No, she wants to be a ballet.
Start him at 4.
Yeah. No, she's a ballet. That's half serious.
Yeah, it is.
When it comes to real ballet, now, remember, my daughter's taken from Russians who are like, oh, 4 years old? No. My daughter was performing on stage at 4, smoking a pipe and knitting a sweater at the same time and also killing men for KGB. You're like, what? But, I mean, that's the thing. Ballet costs so much money and it's such a commitment and what do you do with it unless you're going to be a ballet dancer? What are you going to do? I like the grace that it gives.
That's why I stopped, because what are you going to do with it?
Right.
Because, I can imagine the grace that Jeffy in ballet.
I decided after classes and years, that's enough. What are you going to do with this?
But I think we should do it. I think we should do a ballet. I think this show should do a ballet.
With Jeffy.
Yeah,
with Jeffy.
We should do some.
Maybe we'll do a pirouette and fall through the stage.
You keep saying this show. What you mean is Jeffy, right? Because I know you don't mean this show as if we'd all be involved in it. I think what you mean is Jeffy, right?
No, I mean this show, the whole show. I would produce and direct.
Oh, and I would write it. I'll write that thing.
Pat looks
musical.
Like
I'll do the music score.
Looks like you're playing Clara, and Jeffy, of course, is the Nutcracker.
Glenn Beck program.
888-727 back.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck program.
So, did you guys hear about the photographer that goes out? And he's in the Arkansas Ozark National Forest. He's going to Hawksbill Crag. And he's been hired by this couple to go out on Saturday to hide in the trees in a certain place. There's this big ledge that comes out. And he says, we're going to be there about 7 o'clock. Want you to be there early and take shots of everything.
It's the guy did it, right? Because the wife didn't know.
Yeah, the wife didn't know. He sets it up with this other photographer. So the photographer goes out, and he's waiting. Little does he know, they're running an hour late, and they can't communicate because there's no cell service there. Well, right at the same time that he was hired to shoot photos, this couple comes out onto the ledge. He gets down on one knee, takes beautiful shots of all of it, packs his gear up, goes home. Wrong couple.
same, still a proposal.
Yes, still a proposal. Same place, same time. Wrong couple.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
I'm going to play a little bit of audio. This is from Western Washington University. This is right where I grew up. I think this is up in Bellingham, Washington, where a protester sees a Trump sign, and this is their reaction. Now, this goes on and on and on for quite some time.
This is what happens when you don't take your meds.
Just can't, I mean, but we're churning out the next great generation. We these colleges are doing a great work at that. Also, who stopped the cyber attack? It's an amazing story. Last hour, we talked about how this is an NSA malware program that, guess what, Russians hacked in, took, tried to sell on the open market. Nobody was buying, so they just dumped it on the open market. It crippled hospitals in England. 150 countries were affected. How did it stop? Who stopped it? Believe it or not, a kid in his basement of his mom's house. We'll give you that here in a second. And I want to talk a little bit, not about Comey, not about Trump. I want to talk directly to you about the FBI. We begin there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Two names I want you to know. Benjamin Grogan and Jerry Dove. Sorry, Jerry Dove. Ben and Jerry, believe it or not, are not the ice cream people. They went to work in suburban Miami. It was a sunny April morning. It was 1986. They worked for the FBI. They tracked down a black Chevy Monte Carlo. Remember those? Driven by two heavily armed men who were wanted for multiple murders and bank robberies. They were in a high-speed chase. They had coordinated with four other FBI cars in the area. These two agents finally boxed the Monte Carlo in. They forced it off the road and into a tree. This is the life of an FBI agent. Last week, we were talking way above the people who are actually doing the work. And I don't know if any of us really thought about them last week. The fear of their families. The pursuit that sometimes ends with a driver exiting his car with his hands behind his head. But you never know. It could be a really beautiful April morning where that guy turns on you. This time, the robbers got out of the car with guns blazing. And there was a furious firefight. 145 shots fired in less than 5 minutes. Our two FBI agents were badly outgunned. Dove had just been 4 years into his FBI career. Grogan had been an FBI agent for 25 years. He was going to retire in the next year. This was the last day either of them spent on the job. Two FBI agents down, five others seriously wounded. They were scattered behind cars, bleeding on the pavement. The criminals were also wounded. but saw the moment of escape and moved to get in to Grogan and Dove's FBI vehicle. That's when a 33-year-old Texan, Ed Morales, who was laying there in a pool of his own blood, the result of a freshly minted hole in the side of his arm. He was a former Marine, had been an FBI agent for 7 years. As he looked with his head on the ground to his left, he could see that one of the robbers, he could see just their feet underneath the car. He still had his pump-action shotgun. Wincing through pain, he brought the gun across his body and blasted. And the robber screamed out in pain, but hobbled into the car, shut the door, and tried to start the engine. Ed sat up, trying not to black out. He noticed he was not just bleeding from his arm, but he was now bleeding from a bad head wound. He could see his FBI friends. They were dead. They were wounded all around him. And he rested the barrel of his shotgun on the rear bumper of his FBI car, and he fired. He hit the driver. He fired again and hit the passenger. He struggled to his feet, held up his revolver. He could still see movement in the getaway car. He approached and he emptied his revolver into the murderers before slumping back to the ground himself. Ed lived to tell the story. Grogan and Dove did not. Ed never regained full use of his left hand again. He certainly, like all of these people, they never consider themselves a hero. He says Grogan and Dove were the heroes. Quote, "Those are the real heroes. They are the heroes in the classic sense. They fought and they died for something they believed in." Now, this story is known in the FBI as the Miami shootout. And the reason why it's known is because it was a turning point in FBI history. It was this moment, after this shootout, that the FBI said, you know what? We need to upgrade our weapons. We have to have stronger weapons. And every agent has to wear body armor. If you're in the field, you're now wearing body armor. And this shootout is still studied. And Quantico, if you're going to become a part of the FBI. It was Robert Mueller who was there for the 25th anniversary of that April morning. He was the FBI director at the time. He said that day was one that reflected the best of the Bureau, even though it exemplified the worst of what we confront. About Grogan and Dove, he said, regardless of their age or experience, both put country before self. They put courage before fear. They put the safety of their community before their own. This is what a special agent of the FBI does. It's what they're sworn to do. It makes the risk no less real and the consequences no less grave. But this is what it is to be an FBI special agent. I thought of this story over the weekend as I was watching a recap, and I thought of my friends who are in the FBI and how they don't want to be part of these political squabbles. The 35,000 people who work for the FBI deserve better than this. Regardless of what you think of Comey, how he handled things on his watch, the fact remains that the FBI is made up of people just like us. In fact, they might be slightly better than us in some ways. I don't know the extraordinary work that I'm doing to keep America safe, do you? These guys are doing extraordinary work to help keep our families safe. The FBI has foiled 80 terrorist attacks on U.S. soil since 2001. 80. We know it. And then there are the ones that we don't know about. The job of an FBI agent is a pretty thankless job. We don't hear about the successes of the FBI. We don't even think about them being out there in our own communities, but they're there. They're in our own communities. They're out on the front line, day in, day out. Regular folks doing the gritty, never-ending work of just stopping the bad guys. I mean, the really bad guys. We respect the police. Do we even really think of the FBI? The FBI agents that I know, they all really respected Comey. In fact, the FBI agents I know, many of them are talking about quitting now. They can't take it. They've had to put up with the last 8 years where they were gutted, where they were questioned, where they were told to do things that they just knew was not right. They were told to turn the other way and don't look. And they had hope that maybe things would turn and we would return to common sense and rule of law. But that doesn't seem to their, from their perspective, they're not sure that's going to come back. And their morale is incredibly low, at least the ones that I know. I know that in some areas, when it was announced last week that he was fired, when they found out how he was fired, many of them were so down and so depressed that the boss came in and just said, everybody just go home. We'll see you tomorrow. What would life be like without a trusted FBI? To me, this is what this has to be about. This isn't about Trump. It's not about impeachment. It's not about Comey. It's about the people who are out every day really, truly trying to do the right thing because they still believe in the good guys win. So do I. Why are we focusing on where the bad guys win? And that is in Washington. The real work is being done on the streets in our local FBI offices, where they still feel like you feel and I feel, that the bad guys lose in the end. By the way, in Miami, Florida, if you ever go to the regional headquarters, you'll recognize the building because it's the Benjamin Grogan and Jerry Dove building. Most people will drive by in Miami and they'll never know that. They'll never know their names because all FBI agents, I mean, they're just like you. They go in, they do their job, and nobody's really paying attention. We take their work for granted. They put their lives on the line every day to protect us. I just wanted to take a minute here and just say, let's not forget what's at stake here. As we're burning everything down to the ground in Washington, as we're losing faith in everything, let's not lose faith in each other. Let's not lose faith in the good men and women who are in the intelligence agencies, who are not playing political games, who are disgusted by it. Let's remember the good men and women who, some of them are our neighbors, who are living in our communities, working in the community, trying to do their best. Men like Ben Grogan, Jerry Dove, and Ed Morales. Heroes who put country before self. Oh, how nice it will be when we can finally find a politician to lead this country again. Who we can say, look at that man, look at that woman, truly putting country in front of self.
Glenn Beck,
The Blaze Radio Network.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So I don't know if anybody's going to report on this, but they absolutely should. Keith Olbermann has come out and asked for the Russians and everyone else to attack us and release all of our national secrets. And he is calling for a revolution in the country. I want you to listen to this. This is crazy.
I make this plea. We, the citizens of the United States of America, are the victims of a coup. We need your leaks, your information, your intelligence.
A coup?
A coup?
What, because he fired a guy he constitutionally can fire? Say what you want about the timing and all of that, whatever. The fact is, it's constitutional for him to fire the guy. So how could it possibly be a coup? What are you talking about?
It's astounding. Now, he said we cut off some of this because it's like 7 minutes. We cut off some of it. He lists the governments he's talking to. He's talking to China. He's talking to England, Russia, Germany. He's he names all the spy agencies.
Yeah.
Now is the time to come after us.
Listen to the rest of this.
Recordings, your videos, your conscience. The civilian government and the military of the United States are no longer in the hands of the people.
What?
Nor in the control of any responsible individuals on whom you can rely. The greatest threat to the freedoms of this nation, that this nation has ever faced, the Trump administration, the Trump junta.
The Trump junta! The duly elected Trump junta? Most juntas, I don't think, go through an election process.
No?
Yeah, call me crazy, but I don't think so. I'm not
positive
on that.
Pretend you've never heard of an junta before. I mean, this is crazy talk.
It is.
That we're not, the people are no longer in control. And listen to what he said. There is no one left that you can rely on.
And it's the Trump administration is the greatest threat
the
to America
country
we've
is,
ever seen.
That's crazy. How about the Civil War? How about World War II?
Yeah, but Soviet Union.
They were
not involved in the Trump junta.
No, that's true.
Oh, my gosh.
Good point, Jeffy. We forgot about that.
Is playing by no rules.
They
just offed the FBI director and let him find out about it by reading a TV news crawl in the back of the room in which he was addressing his Los Angeles office. They have no rules.
They have no rules.
For now, the rest of us who only want our democracy back,
we can have
no rules either.
Oh.
We will take the risk of reestablishing the rules later on. What you in the FBI, in the CIA, in the Justice Department have on Trump, we also need now. Because by tomorrow, it may disappear, and your ability to do anything with it may disappear as well.
Could I say,
as
a guy who has been accused of ratcheting things up,
right?
Holy mother of... I mean, what are you talking about? Because tomorrow it may all be gone? Is anyone in the mainstream media? This is from GQ. This is Keith Olbermann doing his little GQ thing. Is anyone in the media going to say, the man is calling for a revolution and the man is calling for our allies and our enemies to dump and release information. Come toward us now.
Needless to say, Olbermann wanted Comey fired, as you would suspect, before it was actually done.
Right.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
888-727-BACK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. There was a... really important story that, at least because of Mother's Day, had a hard time penetrating my family. Nobody in my family was talking about this weekend. It's really important. It's that cyber attack that happened. The cyber attack comes from malware that the NSA built and made. And if you remember... How long ago was this? 6 months ago? Almost a year ago, maybe? There was a dump on, what was it, the Shadow something or other. And they said that they had acquired this software from the NSA. and it was our malware, and they were going to sell it to the highest bidder. Well, we believe that that shadow group was connected to the Russian government. Well, they couldn't sell it. Nobody wanted to buy, you know, like I'm going to get online and go, yeah, I want to buy your NSA software. Yeah, sure, let's do that. Who's going to do that? Yeah, let me just give you my banking routing numbers, too, so I can pay for it. So they couldn't sell it. And what happened was they just later, about a month or so ago, they just dumped it all online. So this malware developed by the United States government to be able to do things like target, you know, the nuclear power plant or the nuclear projects in North Korea was just dumped online. So now we just think a non-political group of hackers wanted to cause chaos. We think that they have made probably from this about $1 billion. What they did was they just seized the computers. What this malware that the NSA did was, if we wanted to, let's say, go in and bomb something, we want to be able to get everybody's computers and just seize them. And so we have absolute control. So what the malware did was it just blocked you from getting into any of your information, okay? Then it put another program on that said, give us this amount of money and you can have your system back.
It was like $300, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was $300, and then it escalated as time went on. Mm-hmm. So you had like some sort of deadline, but like as if you waited longer and longer, the more the price would go up.
So there's two things you need to know about this. One, this is coming from the Russians. They dumped it online. The group that did this, that hacked, apparently they hacked it because of, is it Comey's firing? Yeah. No, Syrian bombing and the fact that Steve Bannon was removed from the national security meetings. Now, this, I think, is what everyone should be talking about. What was the motivation of the people that just did this around the world? Burn it down to the ground. It's Steve Bannon's theory. These are Steve Bannon supporters. Okay, so how was it solved? Incredibly, listen to this. I was out having lunch with a friend. I got back about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I saw an influx of news articles about the NHS, that's the National Health Service in Great Britain, that's their socialized medicine, and various UK organizations being hit. In the National Health Organization, surgeries were being canceled, people would be turned away from, you know, this isn't new over there, from the emergency rooms. They couldn't do anything because all of their computers were locked down. I had a bit of look into that, and then I found a sample of the malware behind it. I saw it was connecting out of a specific domain, which was not registered. So I picked it up, not knowing what I did at the time. So what he did is he found this a kid, literally living in his mom's basement. And he's doing some work. And when I say kid, I don't mean kid.
Kid in the Obamacare sense.
In the Obamacare sense.
Yes, he's less than 26. Yeah. Is he 22?
Yeah. And so he's still living at home with mom, but he's working for a company on malware or against malware in Los Angeles. But he's almost, over in England.
Almost an infant in Obamacare years.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know how he got out of his crib, but he did. And when he said, I just took it, this domain that was this, you know, address on the internet was the home of this, but it wasn't registered. And so what he did is he just registered. He just bought that domain, that domain, and said, it's now mine. The malware immediately stopped. Now, why? Because apparently the group that was pushing this malware out had decided that they needed some way to stop it. They needed a kill switch. What the kill switch was is, if we register this domain name, it will kill the malware.
Now, did he realize that when he registered?
Had no idea.
He didn't know.
Okay. He just knew it was out there, knew what it was doing, and he's like, I can take control of this. I can at least own this. And so, then maybe I can get into it, stop everything. But the minute he registered and hit register, it stopped the malware.
Yeah, his belief was he wanted to because he realized it wasn't registered. So he thought, maybe I can get some information about how it's operating.
Right.
Because
he can
what
get
was
in.
Happening is inside the malware, it was just constantly pinging that website. It kept constantly checking to see that website for some reason. No one knew why.
It was checking it because what had happened is if the malware went out, it needed to check. If it remained unregistered, that meant the guy who the bad guys wanted it to continue. But every time it would register on a new computer, it was told, check this web address. If it was registered, it meant go back to sleep.
So if that's the case and it stopped now, why are we worried about businesses today? Because the big story
because it's going to happen again.
Because it's kind of a quirky way to stop it, right? Like they didn't stop it because they had a structural defense. It was like some lucky thing that just happened to occur. So
and remember, this group that had the hacking software, the malware, there are others. They just dumped it online. So anyone who has a nefarious, you know, ISIS, they have this NSA-developed software.
And is it a consistent subject line you shouldn't be clicking on today? Do we know what that is?
No. No. And I think this thread is over. But remember, when we're talking about, let's stop making Russia about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
This software was in the hands of the Russians. They were the ones who were saying, well, I'll sell it to the highest bidder. When they couldn't get a bid, we believe it was them. We have apparently some decent evidence that it was them that dumped it out online. What is their goal? To cause chaos. This is what's happening. Everything I wrote on that chalkboard, to cause chaos in the Middle East, then it will spread to Europe and eventually to the entire Western world. To cause chaos. That's what's happening. So you can disagree all you want with Donald Trump on why he fired Comey, but it's not a constitutional crisis.
Not even close.
It's not close. He has the constitutional right to do it. Okay, I don't like the way he fired. I think he doesn't see the threat. I don't think he's personally involved in anything with the Russians, at least that he's aware of. Might they be using people around him or whatever? Yeah, they might be. But I don't think he knows of it. He's dismissing all of this because I think it's his ego. He ties the Russian hack directly to the idea that he's somehow or another not a legitimate president. And so anything that legitimizes Russia as attacking during the election delegitimizes him in his head. We got to get past that, Mr. President. You are the president. We elected you. They affected the election, but that's not why you won.
He keeps reminding us.
Okay,
though, that you are
stop it. Stop it. Now let's look at the real threat. And the real threat is here. Do you happen to have Ben Sasse's stuff? Listen to Ben Sasse. This is Ben Sasse over the weekend on this.
And here's what comes next in things like Russian interference in America and in other countries in the age of cyber war over the next decade. I'm obviously concerned about 2016, but I'm far more concerned about 2018 and 2020, because here's what comes next. John Dickerson decides to run for office in 2018, and all of a sudden your credit card records get dumped in some sort of a cyber hack leak, and 97% of those records are going to be real, and there's going to be texture to it, and you were in City X on this day, and you were in City Y on this other date, but 3% of the records are going to be fabricated, and they're going to be interwoven. And John, you've been spending a lot of money at a women's clothing store in Chattanooga, but your wife isn't in Chattanooga, so that's weird. And then there's public doubt about you, and then 5 days later, your phone records are dumped, and they're 99% accurate, but 1%, you're calling a brothel in Chattanooga on Tuesday nights when your wife's at Bridge Club.
Wow.
That's what's coming next in the era of cyber war.
He's exactly
right. And
we're
going to need to have some institutions that we can rely on and believe are apolitical when the public has more and more doubt. And right now, Washington isn't at all focused on the long-term challenge of rebuilding a shared narrative about America and institutional trust in our servants.
So he's exactly right. And it's why I went at the beginning of this hour to talk to you about the FBI agents. We have to separate the good people of America that are in these institutions, and they need to stand up and make sure. Good guys, please don't leave. Please don't leave. You have to fight it from the inside. And if there's political nonsense going on, you've got to whistleblow. Now, who are you going to whistleblow to? I don't know. But it was the same thing I said about journalism under Barack Obama. And they didn't whistleblow. And look at them now. Look at them now. You have to this is the problem with the NSA record banks that are sitting there in Utah. You don't have access to them. They have everything in your life. And yes, they're not listening. But if somebody would get a hold of those and be able to take every phone call, every text message, everything, and they dump 99.9% that is real. However, you don't have copies of those things. You don't know what else. You can't put it into context because they're dumping this and then they're presenting it in a different way. Or they're adding one thing that isn't right. This is how disinformation works. This is how the former Soviet Union used to destroy people.
And this is why the phrase, well, I don't care if they're snooping, let them. I'm not doing anything wrong. This is why that's so flawed. Because they'll make it look like you've done something wrong.
And I want to talk to you clearly about one thing. This is why I've said, get rid of all the secrets that you're hiding. Be completely transparent with everybody. Tell everybody the truth, even the worst parts about you. Get it out. No, let people know who you are. And because what's going to happen is you will be afraid. If this kind of stuff happens, you will be afraid of people finding out. Everybody has a secret. And it doesn't have to be criminal or bad. It's just something that you fear. And it could just be as simple as, I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to lose my money. I don't want to lose whatever. If you are in that place, when this world comes to visit, you are going to go to the dark side because you will be too afraid to lose your job, to lose your house, to lose whatever. You'll be too afraid. And you're seeing with this malware now what can be done. And Ben Sasse is right. And by the way, Ben Sasse will be joining us on Thursday on this program live in studio. You don't want to miss it.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
We had to see for ourselves if Upside.com really saves money on business travel and give you a big gift card every trip. Well, we went to Upside, and in less than 2 minutes, not only did we save $300 for a business trip to Phoenix, we got a $145 gift card as well. Go to Upside.com right now and use the promo code Beck, and you'll get yourself a $100 Amazon gift card your first trip. Save big on your travel and get a big gift card every single trip. Upside.com. That's Upside.com. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
So Miss USA is being slammed for saying that asked, is healthcare a right is it a privilege or is it a right? Now, what are they doing? What is the Miss USA pageant doing?
Say Obamacare is good.
Right. That's all they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, yep. So when she comes out and she said, I know a lot of people think differently on this, but, if you're asking me, there's a huge difference between a right and a privilege, and healthcare is a privilege.
Wow.
Which
is accurate. It's not
it
a right.
Is. It's not a right.
It is not a right
it's
that we have.
No, but no. That's
not even arguable.
Rights come the line from God, the universe, a higher power, whatever. They're not manufactured by people.
Certainly not a constitutional right.
Right. No. And you could say all you want, it's a right. But okay, well, put it in the Constitution then.
Yeah. So
there's a process.
Not a right. Now she's getting hammered because she answered that question. I love this.
That's crazy.
Answer the question the way we want. 2 + 2 = 5, and if not, we will destroy you. Back in just a second.
Program.
Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. A couple of things. If you can find North Korea on the map, apparently you want to negotiate and you don't want to blow them up. Well, I don't know if that has anything to do with finding them on a map or not, but okay. We'll get into that story because there's some interesting findings with that story. Also, Tom Brokaw took the, Andrea Mitchell for one, but really all journalists to tasks and said, you know what, I think you really need to, you keep using this word impeachment, Nixonian. I do not think it means what you think it means. We'll go there and the tapes right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So there's a new word that's been coined, and it's horrible. It's Trumpfaction. I can't say it. Trumpfaction. I can't say it, Pat, right here. Can't say it.
Trump-ostian?
Trump-ostian.
It's exhaustion. Suffering exhaustion from Trump.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's apparently happening in the GOP. They're not saying this is, this is from CNN. They're not saying that it is happening on the main streets of USA and, of course, with the left. It's happening with the GOP. And I will tell you this. The GOP has to decide what they're going to do in 2018. I mean, they're playing this middle ground. They don't seem to be with him or against him. They're just in this wishy-washy middle ground. I don't think they're making anybody happy. Do you?
No.
I mean, it's just not. It's not good.
That's what they're good at. Not making anybody happy.
Right. Including the president himself, who's rumored now to be considering cleaning house because a lot of his aides around him are apparently not effusive enough in their praise of him.
That's frightening. Mm-hmm. That is frightening. Couple that with what Ann Coulter said this weekend. She's not sure she's going to stand with him much longer because she wants the ruthless businessman that they were promised. You know, he's not pleasing the edges. And, you know, I certainly don't want to use the word ruthless on what I'm looking for in the president of the United States. But she is, and we learned that that's what the hacking was about this weekend. If the president wasn't going with one of his ruthless advisors, Steve Bannon. That's one of the reasons why the hack happened this weekend. And I don't know. Are you guys hearing that anywhere? I'm not hearing that everywhere. I think that's really important that the cyber attack was because of Syria and Steve Bannon. That's really important news.
Yeah, it changes the whole complexion of the
story. Yeah, it does. It changes the whole complexion of who's supporting the president, who's coming after the president, and who's coming after the president are the left
alt-right.
And the alt-right.
Yeah.
Not good. So we have that. But we also have a media that is blowing things out of proportion. Here's Tom Brokaw talking to Andrea Mitchell this weekend. Now listen to what he says.
The Nixon Library trolled in response by tweeting, "Fun fact, President Nixon never fired the director of the FBI. FBI director not Nixonian." Although, of course, Richard Nixon did a lot of things, a lot of worse things than firing the director of the FBI. A lot of them were criminal. Tom Brokaw was there covering Watergate and is pointing out that this analogy does not hold. We're not there by any means. There is a sense, though, of real crisis here, Tom, because of all of the issues that have been raised by not only journalists.
Stop.
The
notice
issues.
That?
There is a real sense of panic because of the what?
I'm not sure why we're panicking, but right. I know there is.
But the
panic.
Things that people are saying, in the hallways of CNN and right. MSNBC, and you know those things, we're starting to feed on ourselves here, Tom. There's really no factual basis behind it, but we're saying it, and there is a real sort of panic that is spreading because of these rumors and these wild speculations that are going on.
And his hair.
Yeah, that's going on.
His hair?
And Trump.
Nobody's
we don't like Trump. That. Remember, it's Trump. It's Donald Trump. We don't like him. So how does Tom say?
But also by senators like Angus King. All of the reasons that the White House claimed for the firing of Jim Comey just don't hold up.
Well, Andrea, one of the things that I learned during Watergate, and I was there, as you say, on the front lines, is that we dealt with it every day on a factual basis.
Whoa. What?
Don't start confusing us with facts, Tom. Don't do it.
We dealt with the facts.
With the facts. Yeah.
This is what Woodward and Bernstein said at the President's Correspondents' Dinner that nobody reported on. That's what they said. We used to have to go get the facts, not the wild speculation. We used to have to get the facts. And because, honestly, people like me are on television and we're always going for opinions, the facts play a very little part of the role. For instance, what did I just give you? Okay, so I just said to you, Trump exhaustion plaguing the GOP. That is a 5-page story. And those are the facts. This makes up the story. All I said to you was, hey, there's a new term out. I can't say it. But apparently the GOP is going through it. The rest of this now is our opinion on that. But it's conflated to be part of this. So when they're saying Donald Trump fired, the only thing she said here was Donald Trump fired Comey last week and he had a right to do it. Soon as she said, however, it's all into La La Land. It's all into, well, I'm just, this is how I feel. Well, that's not news. That's not news. And by everybody feeling the same thing and being in their own little circle, I mean, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy with that circle. They all feel exactly the same way.
Yeah, I noticed this. It's funny you say this. I was listening to CNN, I think, this past week, and it was Wolf Blitzer who was on. And the person finished their report with something that was generally thought to be true, I would say, but nothing. I can't remember exactly what the story was, and he just ended it with, "Well, there's no argument about that." Thanks, and then thanks the reporter. And it's like, think about that, like from a perspective of there's no argument about that. That's the anchor, right? Then this is not a criticism of Wolf Blitzer. I think everybody does this, but like when you take these things as like just standard foregone conclusions. And it was something that was somewhat speculative, but his bridge to the next story was, and there's certainly no argument about that.
It wasn't, we'll continue or we'll keep checking that, we'll get back to you.
And we do that all the time, I think is a very human thing to do. I mean, because you just said it, that you do it with this past story and you conflated your opinion and the news. Now, I think if you listen to this show all the time, you can probably detect those things. I know I could detect it when I hear it on news, because I listen to it all the time. But I mean, for the average person who might not follow,
they don't know where the news ends and conjecture begins. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're always looking for somebody with credibility to say the things, and we know this is true, say the things that the producers are looking for. They're not looking for, they'll call you up and say, hey, what's your opinion on such and such? Okay, thank you very much. And then you're not on, because that's not the opinion they're looking for. And so, you know, they shape the news by finding credible people who have credible opinions. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm an opinion guy. That's what I'm paid for. However, when it comes to a constitutional crisis, let's make sure we can separate opinion and fact. Now, listen to the rest of Tom Brokaw.
Now, of course, the media landscape has changed a lot, and we have that going on 24/7. I do think, however, that all of us as reporters, wherever we are in New York or in Washington or across the country, have to take a deep breath and say, let's deal with the facts as we know them.
Right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we might as well be reporting from Jalalabad. Tonight in Jalalabad.
Yeah, he was there during the Nixon times. He was standing in front of the White House reporting on Richard Nixon. And it was a vastly different thing. I remember it.
Yeah.
It was vastly different.
We do have a tendency to romanticize that, right? I mean, like, you remember his peer at that time was Dan Rather, right? And we saw what Dan Rather's relationship to the truth was. I mean, you know.
No, I know that. But look, we went through the same thing. We went through exactly the same thing that we're going through right now in the 1970s, except it was about an illegal activity. And the president saying, I'm not a crook, and I had nothing to do with it, when he did. Okay, so right now, what do we have? We have evidence that Russia, separate and apart from Donald Trump, hacked into not only our election, but also the French election. We know that to be true. We just have to put that on the board as, yes, that's true. Trump conflates that with, that's why I won the election. How dare you say that? I won fair and square. No, that's not what, that fact number one is not saying that. No judgment on that. Second fact, we know that two of your advisors had lied about Russia. One of them is Flynn, and the other one is, what's his name? What?
Manafort.
We know. The facts are those two had deep relationships and were telling things to President Trump and to the press and to the government that were not true. Now, I have no reason to believe the president was involved in that. I mean, I've said this from the very beginning, you know, before any of this stuff came out, because I thought he was being used as a Russian shill. They wanted him because of the disruption and everything else. So I felt that he was being used as a Russian shill, but if you go back and listen to the shows, I always said, I don't think he even knows it.
I don't think most of Trump's critics think he was making calls. Even the critics think he was making calls to Russians to try to get them to hack in to the election. I don't think that happened at all.
No. Nope.
I mean, it's theoretically possible, but I don't think it's probable at any level.
So the president, what you have is fact, Russia hacked into our election. And that's, I mean, their own words. They've already said that they were going to try to do that. Two, that two of the people on the Russian, staff of the president lied about their relationship with Russia, to him, to the government, and to everybody else. And three, Donald Trump fired James Comey. Now, let's look at Donald Trump's MO. Donald Trump did not fire James Comey because he was getting too close to the Russians. He's going to find out the Russian secret. He fired James Comey because James Comey wasn't his lapdog. And I don't mean on the Russian thing. I mean on everything. And I don't mean do exactly what I say. What I mean is he's the greatest. Is he the greatest? I love this guy. Donald Trump is the greatest. He's probably the greatest president we've ever had. And I'm glad that he is the president of the United States. Donald Trump does not like that. If you don't take a bullet for him, you disagree with him, you're dead. Now, in Putin's world, that really means something. Here it means he fires you if he can. And he'll even fire you no matter what it looks like to the rest of the world because he is driven by his ego. His ego was hurt by James Comey. So, that's what you have. Those are the facts. Is there more? Maybe, but not right now. All you have is no new information. Russians did that. Mm-hmm. Yep, we knew that. Russians were with Trump's people. Yep, did that. Knew that. He's an egomaniac that will destroy people, anyone who stands in his way, if you don't lick his face if he tells you to lick his face. Knew that too. What's new here? What's new?
What's new is the constitutional crisis we now face as a result of everything you just outlined.
What's new is a new way to frame old facts. Yeah. That's it.
Well, I mean, what's new though is Comey, right? I mean, that's making this. What's interesting,
right, but it doesn't give us anything new about him. It doesn't tell us any new fact about him.
No, but I mean, for a guy who continually complains about the Russian story dominating the news, he sure does a lot to make the Russian story dominate.
Oh, yeah.
The news.
He does. And then the next day. But tell me this isn't Donald Trump.
He's the one who came out and said this was related to the Russian thing.
But tell me this isn't Donald Trump. Listen to this. Tell me this tells you anything new that you didn't know while he was running for president of the United States. Donald Trump fired Comey because Comey would not lick his face. Is that a surprise to anybody?
No.
Okay. No. Then the next day, knowing or not knowing, because he might be this clueless, but possibly knowing and saying, yeah, you're damn right, I'm going to do it. He has the Russian ambassador over to the White House the very next day. And everybody around him is like, don't do that, Mr. President. He doesn't listen. Is that new information?
No.
He then says, you better be careful because I might have tapes. I might have tapes. It's kind of like saying, you know what? There's a National Enquirer story. He might have killed. Is that surprise anybody that he would say that?
No.
Does it surprise anybody that he might have tapes? No.
No.
Does it surprise people that he would threaten someone? No. And the last piece is, I'm going to just cut all the press conferences. Does that surprise you that he might? And does it surprise you that he's just saying that to piss people off? No, we have nothing new. There's nothing here to see, people. There's nothing here to see.
Break it up.
At least nothing new.
Yeah, but what about the constitutional crisis?
The Glenn Beck Program.
Stream the show live on iHeartRadio or listen later on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play Music.
Mercury. This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Let's go. Stu just pointed out during the break that I contradicted myself here.
Stunning, I know, to the audience, but you came out and just said about 100 times how you shouldn't conflate fact and opinion. And then you said at the end, of
news.
All of your statements of opinion, you said,
look, these are facts.
We know this. These are facts.
And actually, they're not.
Well, I think many of them are likely.
I'm an opinion guy. Told you that on the outset. I'm an opinion guy. My opinion. And what we do know, I'm not talking about in a news or prosecution sort of way, and that's what they're talking about. They're talking about news is saying this is Nixonian, this is, you know, a constitutional crisis. No, it's not, because those have certain standards that you have to hit. This is not a constitutional crisis by any stretch of the imagination. However, while I don't have the psychiatric papers to prove one way or another, I know that Donald Trump is a megalomaniac. He has the ego the size of Texas, and that is not big enough.
Right.
I mean, you know that.
Yeah. I mean,
and so you also know that he destroys people verbally, threatens them, whatever. I'm not saying that he kills anybody or anything else. You know that if you stand in his way, he removes you or destroys you. Okay, so we've known those things about Donald Trump forever. What's the new thing that we learned on Comey? Nothing. We don't know his motive of trying to cover up this Russia deal and get him off the scent. That's speculation. It's more likely that he's just being the egomaniac, the guy that we already have lived with for the past 30 years, that does this to people.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. One thing that this ABC show, the canceled the Tim Allen show.
Their second highest rated show.
What is it about that show that doesn't have passion behind it? There should, for instance, what was the other show, Jeffy, that was canceled that was...
Well, Timeless. On NBC was a big show, a big fan favorite, and they put that on the canceled list, and the fans went crazy.
Right.
They called, they wrote, and NBC said, oh, okay.
Anybody doing a writing campaign?
I have no idea. I haven't heard anything. Are they going to? What I'm hearing is that ABC, that's Disney, going bad. See? What? Well, have you called ABC? Is there a fan club that is trying to put it back on the
air?
I mean,
you love the show.
I mean, it's the second. It was their second highest rated. I didn't hear that last week.
Their second highest rated show on ABC. And so conservatives are jumping to the conclusion that it's canceled.
But see, here's what's weird.
Conservative.
Here's what's weird about this.
And maybe.
Here's what's weird. The fact that that show has been out now for what, eight seasons?
Six seasons.
Okay, yeah. It's been on the air for six seasons. We didn't even know about it for like the first two or three. And if you've ever watched it, it's really good. It's Tool Time. It's Home Improvement. Except he's spouting all the conservative things. It gives the left a black eye. Not in a bad way. It's the show that we say we're all looking for. How come you can't have? Well, there it is, right there, and it's number two. And now Disney ABC just canceled it, and there doesn't seem to be any passion, and I don't know why.
Yeah, maybe because it doesn't have Abigail Spencer in it.
Okay, I'm trying to.
Abigail Spencer, helps that Timeless TV show out quite a bit.
Oh yeah, she's great. You're right. It was and. You know, we talked about the site last week, the TV Grim Reaper, that gives a prediction of what's going to be canceled. If you missed this last week, Last Man Standing had a 90% chance of being renewed based on the ratings and audience and all the stuff that surrounds these things. And they said it was among the most surprising.
I think it was the most surprising misses since the beginning of the website.
Right. Timeless, on the other hand, had a 20% chance of being renewed. And was canceled and then uncanceled 3 days later.
And you add on top of it, it's six seasons in.
Yeah.
You're number two in the ratings, the number two highest show on ABC. You keep the number two and you put another two, three, 4 years into the can and you sell it in syndication.
Right. And,
it's a no-brainer. You make money forever.
Decades. Yeah.
Well, I mean... Yeah. But I'm not trying to get to what ABC did. What I'm trying to get to is, why do we have such a disconnect with passion on that show? We say we want this kind of show. It's family friendly. You can watch it. It doesn't assault your morals or your feelings.
But it's also not like so milquetoast that it's boring. I mean, it's funny.
Right, it's funny.
It's funny. They make funny jokes. I mean, the first time I ever turned it on, it was about 10 straight minutes of jokes about Obama's EPA.
First time I watched it, I had exactly the same thing. I was like, what the?
How is this on the air?
I had no idea. So why the disconnect?
Yeah, where's the huge letter writing campaign? Or every time someone takes a Christmas tree off of a cup at Starbucks,
oh my gosh,
there's like 7,000 stories about it.
Exactly. Right. True. Where is it on this one? And why? I don't understand it. Because it is, we're all saying, we want movies, we want television shows, we want things. Okay, there it is, right there. Why? That's an important question to answer. I don't have the answer. It's an important question to answer. Why do we not have the immediate rush to save that show?
I don't know. I mean, there is that, and I'm just speculating here, because I was not a huge... Like, I have the same argument. I've made the same argument on the show many times that we want that sort of entertainment. However, I was not a religious viewer of that show. When I watched it, the few times I watched it, it was funny.
I've watched it on Netflix or Amazon or whatever, and I've watched two seasons of it, and it's a standard we go back to from time to time. And
it's very easy, like prototypical style of a sitcom, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, we were talking about this the other day. Disney is currently in the middle of creating a $500 million Avatar-themed park.
That's unbelievable.
They say that it is unbelievable.
First of all, when did that movie...
2009.
It came out. It's like eight 7 years ago.
Right. And with no sequels since. Now, there are sequels in the works, right? Supposedly. There's supposed to be two more coming out. But
that movie sucked.
First of all, the movie sucked. Objectively terrible.
Terrible.
And again, I'm stating opinion as fact. It was terrible. And it was like this anti-human, anti-war, pro-environmentalist sort of
anti-marines and military.
Yeah, so it was annoying to me on that level.
But harming the planet.
But beyond that, I was Jeffy, who is this? He's the defender of this movie. Literally the only person I've ever spoken to in my entire life who I really liked that movie. I asked him the other day. He didn't know this topic was coming. I asked him the other day. Really, name a character in the movie. He had no answer.
Any character.
Name who the blue people were. No answer. Right. Name what the thing they were looking for was. No answer.
What was even the name of the planet?
No, they were looking for Unobtainium.
You know that now because we talked about it on the air.
What was even the name of the dumb planet they went to?
The planet they were trying to kill?
This is every answer from him. And he's a fan of the movie. He says he still watches it occasionally.
It on TV.
When it's on, he'll watch it. And still, there's no love. Star Wars. You know, a Harry Potter. Think of what the type of thing.
Here's the thing. First of all, Disney realizes that they are an IP company. Okay, they're an amusement park company. They're not an amusement park company. They're not a movie company. They are an IP product company. They're an idea company, a story company. And so, if something becomes number one, they're going to buy it. It's Star Wars. They're going to buy it. Marvel. They're going to buy it. That blue person movie, whatever that is, buy that. Okay? And so I think they've gone off the rails a bit. Now, I could be wrong. I hear that it is phenomenal.
The
park that they're delivering, I think they bought into the visuals. And the world.
And that's the only reason that movie made so much money.
Correct.
Because at the time, it was incredibly groundbreaking technology, and everyone wanted to go see what it looked
like. And so I have heard that the actual place that they have built is incredible. And so I think they bought less of the story. I mean, there hasn't been any other stories, but I wonder, can somebody look up, did they buy into any rights or anything with the sequels?
Yeah, maybe. Because listen to this sequel schedule.
Because if I were Disney and I had the money and said, James Cameron, James, okay, that's a cute little idea. But you have such a great thing here. We're going to go in with our people and we're going to help you develop the characters that will make this thing last.
Because
all he did was develop this world. It's kind of, look how much George Lucas destroyed. He did everything he could. You know, he tried four movies to destroy what he had built, and he couldn't do it. Okay, we're going to leave, George, we're going to leave all those characters over here, but we're going to pay you this because we see the value in what you've done. Now let us fix it.
It's a good argument for it. I mean, because there is a sequel scheduled. December 18th, 2020.
It was just delayed again.
So again, this is a movie that came out in 2009. 11 years for the sequel. Then they say they have Avatar 3 in 2021, Avatar 4 in 2024, and Avatar 5 in 2025. I don't believe that.
If it keeps getting delayed, when's the park open? Next year? In 18?
May.
Of this year?
Of 18. It officially opens late May.
Like this year?
This year?
I think so.
Wow.
We'll have to look on that.
That can't be.
But you want to, and this goes to a previous conversation, because I just don't see the passion for that. If you're going to have people who are going to travel across the country to go see a park themed after a movie, it's going to be Star Wars or Harry Potter or something where people are so ridiculously passionate about it, you're going to have a built-in audience.
I think you have, again, when you buy something like Indiana Jones, what are you buying? You're buying the big rock and you're buying a couple of scenes. This, they're buying an entirely new world.
And you might be right, but let me give you an alternate theory on this. All-time domestic, Avatar is the number two movie of all time in the United States. $760 million. So it was a big movie, but that's why I think it stands out on this list, where there's not a lot of characters or themes that people really latch onto as far as the story. Number one is Star Wars, The Force Awakens. However, all-time worldwide gross, Star Wars, Force Awakens is number three. $2.1 billion. Titanic is number two, $2.2 billion. Avatar, $2.8 billion. It made $700 million more than Star Wars worldwide. And this may very well just be a play to, hey, China, want to go on vacation? Hey, as you're getting wealthy and you're trying to turn this economy into a modern one?
I've been spending a lot of time with some Disney Imagineers, some former Disney Imagineers. They're no longer with the company, but they do things like one of them, he designed Disneyland Tokyo's Disney Sea or Disney Discovery Sea or something. I can't remember. He's done Tomorrowland. He's done all these major projects for them. And we were talking over the weekend, and I can't remember who told me this, but it was somebody high up in Imagineering. And they said, if you really want to see the future of Disney World, you go to, what's the new one, Shanghai? Disneyland Shanghai or Disneyland? I can't remember. The new one in China.
Yeah,
that just opened. Mm-hmm. And that one is completely new kinds of technology. Now, the problem is the park is shutting down. You know, imagine going and not being able to go to Pirates of the Caribbean because the ride is closed until 5 o'clock because they're working on the ride because they can't get it right. They've moved so far ahead in new technology that some of the new technology isn't working yet. But from what I understand, the Avatar and the new Star Wars exhibits are way ahead of the game, technologically speaking. And I just think that they bought the world because it's just a great palette that they can play in any way they want.
And it does open May 27th.
Yeah, at Disney's Animal Kingdom this month.
Well, that's another reason. Boy, have you been to Animal Kingdom?
Yeah.
No.
Whew.
Bad?
No. You go once if somebody's paying for your ticket.
Right.
You'll enjoy it.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. Glenn Beck Program.
Let's go to Stacy in Ohio. Hello, Stacy.
Hi.
Hi.
I love the show, Last Man Standing.
Yes.
I would gladly sign a petition, but I think that it just feels so like you're climbing. It's very, it feels like it's too much to fight against with the opposition, and there's so many other things that you want to fight for.
It's true.
And spend your energy on. Like the Convention of States and things like that.
Right. So your Convention of States, Tim Allen
Last
Show. I think you're right on that one.
I think the priority is
Convention of States. Show.
Yeah. So you're just so you're saying the lack of passion is not a lack of passion. It's just priorities.
Well, that and it just feels like you're fighting an uphill battle. I mean, against the media.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much. It's really interesting. I really want to go back to this if we can tomorrow, because I really want to answer this question. Why, when we say that's what we want, why are we not fighting? And I think, try this out for size. What do you think of this? Like she said, Convention of States. What's going to save us? What's going to save our children? What's going to help my family survive the onslaught? I think a lot of people are at that point of what's going to save my family. Mm-hmm. And a comedy show from Tim Allen, while it's great, is not that.
No, but it might be some other TV show.
Yeah, it might be. No, it might be. And you know what? It also, you know, you need shows like Tim Allen. It can't be alone in the wilderness.
Right.
You need to have that. But it's just odd. And there are petitions out. If you want to save Tim Allen's show, Last Man Standing, we'll get that information out to you and post it at glennbeck.com. We'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock, for the Think Tank.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.